Ireland has always taken great pride in its musical successes, particularly those legendary international stars we can all name off the top of our heads. But behind the scenes, we've had some equally accomplished and celebrated heroes in the business of music. None more so than Dave Robinson, co-founder of the celebrated Stiff record label, home to the likes of Elvis Costello, The Pogues and The Damned. Dave's career has already spanned a half a century, from working with Jimi Hendrix and Van Morrison in the late 1960s through his days with Stiff Records and on to his time with Island Records, overseeing the careers of U2 and Bob Marley, amongst others. He'll be back in Ireland next week for a couple of evenings in Galway and Dublin, where he'll talk publicly about his extraordinary career, but I'm delighted to have him join us now from Carlisle. You know, Dave, it's very difficult to know where to start with you, but I'll go back to 1960, if that's okay. And you going around Dublin with a camera in your hand, taking photographs of the likes of the Beatles and the Rolling Stones. Were you already planning a route into music with your camera in your hand at that time?
No, not really. I wasn't planning. I was planning to be a photographer, essentially. You know, it was find a job you like. I'd worked in the printing business very briefly and thought I didn't love it. And so photography was my hobby. But it was taking pictures of kids and weddings and family groups. And eventually, I thought, head off to England, learn a bit more, as so many Irish people have done before. So that's where I kind of hooked up with Rave Magazine, who I was a junior photographer at Rave Magazine for a while, I think probably about 14, 15 months. And it was during that time that they sent me to Liverpool to do a kind of a thing on the Cavern, mainly.
All right.
The fact that I took pictures of the Beatles was kind of incidental. They were saying this is a very good band, and I think we filmed about, I took pictures of five or six groups at the lunchtime sessions. And the Beatles were among them, and I remember thinking they were okay, but I can't say that I jumped out of my socks and thought, wow, I should do something more here.
But you must have had an interest in music. I mean, was that always there?
I went to the clubs. I went to the clubs in London. So that when I went back to Dublin, I had in my mind the fact that Dublin really didn't have that kind of ethos musically.
And at what point then did your relationship, and it was a friendship as well as a professional relationship, a relationship with Van Morrison, when did that all start?
Well, Tony Boland, an English guy who was planning to live in Dublin, I think he'd come from Dublin originally but had been in London for quite a while, he decided to open a club, the first beat club on the Quays, Burr Quays in Dublin. And Sound City, it was called, and he roped me in to help with the opening and to take some part of it all. And we had a great instant success because there wasn't that facility before then. So we're running the club, and Van turns up. Now, I had taken a few pictures of Van for Rave magazine when them... who was a very difficult to put them into a sentence without your grammar going haywire.
Yeah.
But them were a big thing in London, and Van was, you know, he was a nice guy. He didn't like taking his picture, but he was friendly.
Yeah.
And he turned up in Dublin having disbanded them for reasons with his manager, and he was at a bit of a loose end, so he came and stayed in my flat for a while, and he used to get up with groups in the club and show them, you know, what it was all about. Phenomenal ability to make a band really be better than they were when he played with them on harmonica. But as a flatmate, he left a reasonable amount to be desired. He wasn't very social, and he got in the way of my social life quite a bit,
yeah.
Although I look back on it fondly at the time. I was hoping that he would head off to New York because he was getting a lot of interest from Burt Burns in New York. And eventually he did go off and sign to Bang Records. And, you know, the rest is very historic.
Yeah. Well, what was it that made you seize the opportunity then of the founding Stiff Records in the 70s with Jake Riviera? Was there something that you guys had in mind? Were you looking for a particular sound, a type of band? What was it?
I had started a network of pubs because to do with bands influenced by New Orleans music and rhythm and blues generally. Up until then, you had a lot of geezers wandering around with high-heel boots and funny haircuts and things. So there was a big progressive movement in the UK, and I had come back from America with the idea that I would form a management company, because I saw that bands were not being really catered for very well in my book by their managers and their record companies. Although there was a lot of money and income around, the band seemed to get the least attention and the least kind of care. So I thought, I can do better. I'll go back to London and form my own management company. I started a studio and I started recording all the bands that passed through the pub circuit. So Elvis Costello, who at that time was called Declan Aloysius McManus, and Graham Parker, Ian Dury, Nick Lowe, who I had looked after. So I started a management company, and that really, from that, having signed a lot of those bands to major record companies and finding that the major record companies were not very good at their jobs. They didn't really seem to know how to produce unknown good music, but unknown music. They didn't seem to be great marketing people. So I thought, yet again, I thought, I can do this. I'll start a record company. So Jake and I started Stiff Records, which, of course, a stiff in the record industry is a failure, a total failure. And so our first motto was undertakers to the industry. So Stiff Records, undertakers to the industry. And we then signed the bands that I had managed and various other ones. And we got going with a great attitude against the kind of major record companies. There was a gentleman called John Peel at the BBC, and thank God for him.
Right.
He likes stiff music and played a lot of our stuff and gave us an opportunity, gave us a big opportunity, an open door to get started.
Well, I'm sure he played this track.
Sex and drugs and rock and roll.
There we go. That's Ian Dury and Sex, Drugs and Rock and Roll. And speaking to me this evening is Dave Robinson, co-founder of Stiff Records. The big tours that you did with the likes of, particularly, I suppose it was Elvis Costello and the lads when you went out on the, you know, you took five bands, wasn't it, out on tour to kind of sample their wares around the place. That was the plan with those tours, wasn't it, as part of the Stiff?
Yes, it was a very competitive idea. Each band played about 20, 25 minutes. We merged all the equipment, so there was very little changeover. We're talking about a couple of minutes while a compere would, you know, crack two jokes and the next band would be on. Also, we devised the idea of a circulating kind of headliner. So every band got to start the evening and every band got to finish it. So every 4 or 5 days, they were in a different position on the bill. And the public seemed to like it. The bands were very competitive, very friendly with each other, but very competitive because each one had to follow the one before and each one tried to cut it up for the one before. So it was a great show. We did four of those tours in total. The idea really appealed and the public really caught on to it. In those days, the universities in England and Ireland were the places to play because the audience would disperse in the holidays and spread the word, hopefully, about your band if they thought they were, you know, a good thing. So it was a very, very good opportunity for marketing. And the bands were improved more and more by playing, as they do. And so we had a lot of notoriety and a lot of bands that nobody had ever thought of starting to happen. So that's what made Stiff interesting.
When did Madness first present themselves as a possibility for Stiff?
Madness, I auditioned Madness at my wedding. I couldn't, it turned out they had very few shows. They didn't have an agent at the time and they were booking very few shows. And I had a lot of people telling me that this band would really suit me, that they were kind of Ian Dury-esque and they liked Ian Dury and they'd be perfect for Stiff Records. So lots of people gave me the nod, but I couldn't see them because they weren't playing. I wanted to see them live, and I was getting married, and so I thought I killed two birds, if you'll excuse the expression, with one stone. And so they played at my wedding. My wife has never entirely forgiven me, but, you know, it got better. She liked the band, and it was a remarkable event because there was Ian Dury dancing with Elvis Costello, if you can imagine that, on the floor in front of Madness. And I thought they were exceptional. And so we signed them up pretty much the week after.
Did they play One Step Beyond at your wedding?
They played One Step Beyond, and I thought that, you know, the penny, the till jangled in my mind. I thought, that's a great name for an album. It's a great name for a single, and it could be big. The band, on the other hand, didn't want to put it out as a single because it was a Prince Buster song, and they had already done a lot of Prince Buster tracks. So they didn't want to put it out, and they didn't want to record it. So when the album, which was finished very quickly, came up on my desk, it didn't have that track. So I had to talk to them for about 5 hours solidly till they fell asleep and agreed to record it. And that was their first single, and a very big success.
One Step Beyond.
Obviously, Dave Robinson, who's speaking to me this evening ahead of his trip to Ireland to talk about his time with Stiff Records, obviously Madness and the money that came in from Madness was a great help to Stiff and must have kept things going pretty well for you. But another album that would have been important around that time was Elvis Costello's. How important an album is that in your mind?
The Stiff only did one record with Elvis because I then split up with my partner, Jake Riviera. And we had a kind of a lottery to split up the bands on the label. My Aim Is True, though, was a very big record for Stiff. There were some great tracks on that record, and that really opened the door for Elvis. We asked him to change his name, and to my surprise, he accepted the name Elvis. I thought there would be a big argument, and it was unlikely he would go with it. And I also bought him his glasses, his Buddy Holly rimmed glasses, because he had a look of a kind of a Swiss kind of scientist before that, with the rimless glasses. He didn't look like anything. So Elvis Costello with the glasses and My Aim Is True is what took off.
It's so funny to be seeing you after so long, girl. And with the way you look, I understand that you were not impressed.
If the 70s were, you know, a great period for Stiff, then into the 80s we get Island buying over 50% of the label. With hindsight, do you regret that deal, or how do you feel about it?
I regret it, to be honest. I'm happy to have been able to do Legend, the album by Bob Marley, who unfortunately was deceased at the time, but to work on his greatest hits and to work on the marketing plan worldwide for that album is it's a big one in my CVs. I did an interview recently where the guy said, this is Dave Robinson turned Bob Marley into a legend, and I thought, that's pretty good, that'll look pretty good for my creditors. Anyway, I wish not, Island. I mean, I liked Island, and Island was a model of a great record label. But what I didn't realize when Chris Blackwell was supposedly buying shares is that Island had no money at all. Stiff had to lend Chris Blackwell some money so he could buy the shares off me.
Did your, I suppose, concentration go into Island in a way that Stiff kind of fell by the wayside?
Well, it had to. That was the situation. I mean, Ireland had a staff of 150, and all these people would have been out of work if we had. Also, the creditors were banging at the door of Ireland, and they would probably have wound that company up.
Yeah.
If I hadn't spent a lot of my time really getting that company going again. Frankie Goes to Hollywood comes to mind. That was a very successful beginning that turned the company round, and then Bob Marley's Legend, and then U2's Red Rocks album, and other things made sense. But Stevie Winwood had gone, Robert Palmer had gone, so there wasn't a huge catalogue on the Island Records. So when you say, do you regret it? I do, but I've never been one to shy from a challenge, and I eventually turned Island around into a successful company again. But during that period, we signed the Pogues to Stiff. Perhaps some of the concentration was spent on Island, and that was unfortunate.
Yeah, you mentioned the signing of the Pogues to Stiff at that time. Do you think you had a particular ear for Irish, you know, music of an Irish nature?
Yeah, yes, inevitably. You know, although they're all plastic paddies, really. I mean, except for maybe Shane to a degree. They're all born in England. Although they were playing a kind of an Irish genre punk music, that's mainly what the story was, I just saw that Shane's ability to write songs was the thing that drew me to them. They were kind of lunatics to begin with. Well, they were always kind of lunatics. But that meant that they very seldom got through a full set. They would very punk their way through four numbers and then fall into the audience, which is not the, you know, it's not the example for a great career. But his songs were extraordinary, and I knew, and that's been my modus from the beginning. Stiff was always about signing the songwriters. That's where you get the ammunition to make things work. And trying to convince bands to do songs that they don't like, they haven't written, it takes up a lot of time. So if they can write the material, then you've really got something. And in Shane's case, we all know where that led to Fairy Tale of New York with Kirsty MacColl, who I also signed. And that was a very successful point. But all the bands on Stiff, 75% of the bands on Stiff broke even. They were all successful. They all had careers. They all made money. And most of them who are alive are still touring now, Sean.
Yeah, let's have a listen to the Pogues, actually, and Sally MacLennan.
Well, Jimmy Bright, I'm on again, the pub where I was born. He played it from the night down to the pace of early.
Dave Robinson of Stiff Records speaking to me this evening. He'll be in Ireland next week telling more of this incredible life story of his. There we have from Rum, Sodomy and the Lash, the track Sally MacLennan. That's an example of the great songwriting that you're talking about.
Well, you know, fantastic. I mean, I like the Irish. I like bands that, to my mind, I call folk music, but not the kind of bearded individuals going shush all the time. I'm talking about, I thought the Beatles were a folk band from Liverpool and Madness were a folk band from Camden Town. They're singing and writing about the life they're living. And that is, to me, that is the great songwriter presenting his lifestyle. And so you have Elvis Costello, Ian Dury, Kirsty MacColl, Reckless Eric were signed because they could write and they wrote about their lives. And Stiff encouraged them to keep writing about those phenomena.
And that's how you encourage people like Ian Dury to write hits like this.
In the deserts of Sudan and the gardens of Japan, from Milan to Yucatan.
And as we listen out to Ian Dury and the Blockheads and Hit Me With Your Rhythm Stick, let me tell you that if you want to hear all about the story of Stiff Records, the label's co-founder, Dave Robinson, will be appearing at the Rushing Dove in Galway. That's on Thursday, February the 27th. Details on rushingdove.net. A couple of days later, on Saturday, February the 29th, in fact, he'll be at Liberty Hall in Dublin. AitkinPromotions.com will give you all of the details on that.